Right now, there are multi-million dollar hotel acquisitions being greenlit by algorithms that, well, they literally don't know the price of diesel fuel just hit $5.60.
Right. Which is
It
terrifying.
is a terrifying thought. I mean, you have operators underwriting these 10-year business plans based on synthetic data that assumes the world operates exactly like it did in 2019. It completely ignores the massive structural and physical realities of the mid-2026 economy. And, it's basically creating a ticking time bomb inside commercial real estate portfolios.
Yeah, it's a massive vulnerability. And it really stems from this profound disconnect between spreadsheet models and physical reality. We're looking at a market where the old playbooks aren't just outdated, they are actively destructive.
Which is exactly what we're dissecting today. So
Yeah.
for you, whether you're an institutional investor managing a $1 billion fund or a hotel owner underwriting your next major acquisition, our mission in this deep dive is to give you a clear-eyed briefing on the current state of commercial real estate and hospitality investment. And we're pulling the data and the core thesis directly from the latest edition of the Pre's Perspective newsletter. It's authored by Priyanshu Adathakkar, who goes by Pre. He's a top-tier commercial real estate and hotel investment advisor.
Yeah, and his analysis is arguably the most crucial read in the market right now.
Totally. We're going to break down why artificial financial engineering is just failing right now, the hidden dangers in your underwriting, and why
Yeah.
Pre insists that a return to rigid real-world data is, well, the only viable path forward.
Because we are seeing an alarming amount of capital being deployed right now based on financial assumptions that have zero grounding in current market physics. So we want to step in here, strip away the noise of the market, and look purely at the raw mechanics of these deals. Because if you
Rest.
understand the mechanics, you understand where the actual risk is hiding.
Right. And I want to start by looking at the macro environment, specifically this psychological inertia Pri writes about. Navigating the 2026 commercial real estate market using 2019 tactics is like navigating a minefield blindfolded using an outdated map.
That's a great way to put it.
But why are so many sponsors still struggling to accept that the era of cheap debt is definitively over? I mean, let's explain the mechanics of what they're actually mourning here.
Well, for the better part of the 2010s and early 2020s, success was largely driven by macro tailwinds, right? Specifically, cap rate compression. Let's break down how that actually functioned, because it completely explains the bad habits we see today.
Okay, let's hear it.
So, a capitalization rate, or cap rate, is essentially your property's net operating income divided by its asset value. In a zero interest rate environment, there was so much cheap capital flooding the market looking for yield that buyers were, willing to accept lower and lower cap rates.
Right.
So you could buy a hotel at a 6% cap rate, do absolutely nothing to improve the operations, hold it for 3 years, and sell it at a 4.5% cap rate.
Just because the market simply demanded the asset, pushing the overall value up, regardless of the building's actual performance.
Exactly. The momentum of the macro environment just bailed you out. I mean, a sponsor could drastically underestimate their operational costs, overspend on a lobby renovation, or completely miss their revenue targets.
And it wouldn't matter.
It simply didn't matter. The cheap debt and the mathematical magic of cap rate compression papered over all of those sloppy mistakes. They looked like geniuses on the exit, but the success was entirely artificial.
But the math is broken. We're not dealing with 3% interest rates anymore. The baseline cost of capital is hovering around a very stubborn 7%, and we have persistent line item inflation on top of that.
Yeah, which changes everything.
Right. Those two forces operating simultaneously fundamentally rewrite how a property is valued. But what I want to push back on is the behavioral aspect. If a legacy sponsor has spent the last 15 years building an empire on volume chasing and cap rate compression, how hard is it fundamentally for them to unlearn that muscle memory?
Oh, it's incredibly difficult.
Do they even realize the environment has changed, or are they just deliberately ignoring it?
I mean, it is incredibly difficult to admit that the tools that built your wealth are now entirely obsolete. The smarter operators recognize it. But as Pri points out, many sponsors still have uncalled capital to deploy, and their entire business model relies on acquisition
But you
fees.
have to keep moving.
Exactly. So when the traditional math of a deal doesn't work with 7% debt, they don't walk away. They start squeezing their assumptions to force the transaction.
Which is like trying to squeeze water from a stone. And how does forcing a transaction actually work mechanically on the pro forma? How do you manipulate a spreadsheet to make a fundamentally bad deal look like a winner to an investment committee?
you start tweaking the terminal cap rate, which is the assumed valuation multiple when you plan to sell the property in 5 or 10 years. If the cash flow today looks terrible, a sponsor will simply project a wildly optimistic exit value.
Oh.
Yeah, they assume interest rates will magically drop back down to 3% by the time they sell. Or they aggressively shave their projected operational expenses, assuming they can somehow run a full-service hotel with 20% less staff than historical averages dictate.
So they are essentially trying to drive a car on a winding, mountainous road by only looking in the rearview mirror.
Yes.
They are assuming the smooth straightaways of the past decade dictate the terrain ahead, completely ignoring the cliff right in front of them. Are sponsors truly recognizing that the math is broken, or are they just looking for new ways to hide the bad math?
Mostly hiding it, which is why Pree is so adamant that forcing these deals is a fast track to capital destruction. If the underlying numbers do not pencil out against the rigid physical reality of today's market, Pry's core thesis is that you cannot engineer your way out of it. You have to step back.
Yeah.
But to truly understand why forcing these deals is so dangerous, we have to look closely at the physical realities these sponsors are trying to ignore.
Let's get into the physical reality, because Pree provides a fantastic grounding example in the newsletter. He talks about the squeeze of $5.60 diesel.
Yes, that's a great point.
And for an institutional investor sitting in an office tower in Manhattan, the pump price of diesel might seem like a footnote. Why is this specific data point so catastrophic for a commercial pro forma?
Because diesel is the lifeblood of the physical economy, and its cost compounds across every single line item in a property's operational budget.
Right.
Like, if you are underwriting a hotel acquisition that requires a massive PIP, a property improvement plan, to update the rooms, $5.60 diesel drastically increases the cost of logistics. It increases the cost of shipping the new furniture, fixtures, and equipment. It drives up the cost of raw construction materials like concrete and steel reaching the site.
And it impacts daily operations too. Food and beverage deliveries for the hotel restaurant, daily laundry services, waste management. I mean, every single vendor servicing that property is passing their increased fuel costs directly onto the hotel owner.
Exactly. The compounding effect is massive. You have that stubborn 7% debt servicing cost at the top of your ledger, and you have highly volatile, elevated physical costs eating away at your net operating income from the bottom.
So your profit margin is being squeezed from both directions simultaneously.
Yes, exactly.
This brings up a really concerning dynamic with how these deals are being modeled right now.
Mm.
When a sponsor is caught in that squeeze, the pressure to find a mathematical workaround is immense.
Oh, absolutely.
According to Prize reporting, operators are increasingly turning to artificial intelligence to underwrite these deals. Now, on the surface, using AI sounds incredibly sophisticated. It sounds like you are leveraging cutting-edge technology to find efficiencies.
Right. It sounds great on paper.
But Pry calls this out as a structural shift in how risk is being priced and a massive false sense of security.
It is dangerous because of how these models are trained. I mean, if an AI underwriting tool is pulling from historical market data to project future performance, what data is it actually looking at?
Let me guess. The last 10 years.
Exactly. It's looking at the data set from 2012 to 2022. It is trained on an anomalous decade of zero interest rate policy, hyper-low inflation, and steady growth. The AI literally lacks the historical parameters to understand how a commercial asset behaves when debt is at 7% and diesel is at $5.60.
So the AI is inherently biased toward optimism. It hallucinates. It projects a fictional scenario where revenues just keep climbing.
Yes, it consistently hallucinates rent growth and daily average rates for hotels. It will project a smooth 4% or 5% annual increase in revenue, completely ignoring the macroeconomic reality that the consumer's wallet is tapped out, it doesn't recognize the ceiling of what a guest can actually afford to pay.
And what about the expense side of the ledger? How does the AI handle that volatility?
This is where it gets even more deceptive. The AI smooths out expense volatility. It might project a standard 2% annual increase in utility costs based on a 10-year trailing average. But in the physical world, a regional grid issue or a spike in natural gas could cause a property's utility bill to jump 25% in a single quarter. The AI model completely misses these black swan operational spikes, presenting a perfectly viable pro forma to the investment committee while masking the fact that the property will likely bleed cash within the first 12 months.
Which brings up the question of fiduciary duty. Are investors actively using AI as a deliberate crutch to invent a fictional 5% rent growth just to hit their hurdle rates? Or is it genuine blind faith in the technology? Are they essentially laundering their bad assumptions through a black box so they can point to the computer and say, hey, the algorithm approved the deal, just so they can collect their acquisition fee?
Honestly, it's a toxic mix of willful blindness and aligned incentives. No sponsor wants to go back to their investors and say, we've found absolutely nothing to buy this year. The pressure to deploy capital is immense.
Right.
So when an unverified AI model spits out a scenario that clears the hurdle rate, nobody in the room is highly motivated to audit the model's underlying assumptions.
But a physical building doesn't care about the formulas in your spreadsheet. It doesn't care about the synthetic revenue the AI invented.
And that leads directly to the third factor squeezing operators right now, which is regulation. Municipalities are facing their own revenue shortfalls due to inflation and declining commercial tax bases. Their response is to aggressively close regulatory loopholes that real estate operators have historically used to artificially boost their margins.
And Pros highlights a very specific example of this, the 99-unit loophole in New York City. Can you walk through the actual mechanics of how a loophole like that functions and what happens to an investor's pro forma when the city suddenly closes it?
Yeah. So the 99-unit loophole is a perfect case study in regulatory risk. In many jurisdictions, crossing a specific unit threshold like 100 units triggers a cascade of municipal requirements.
Okay.
It might trigger mandatory affordable housing quotas, aggressive carbon emission fines under laws like Local Law 97, or stringent union staffing requirements for hotel operations.
So developers and operators build their entire business plan around staying at 99 units. They design the building, secure the debt, and project their cash flow entirely based on avoiding those 100-unit triggers.
Exactly. But municipalities are no longer turning a blind eye. They are rewriting the rules, moving the goalposts, or strictly enforcing the spirit of the law rather than the technical letter.
Wow.
If a city council suddenly decides that those heavy union mandates now apply to properties with 50 units instead of 100, the operator's pro forma collapses overnight. Their operational expenses instantly jump 30%, and their debt coverage ratio goes negative.
Which reinforces one of Pree's two uncompromisable pillars for survival in this market, regulatory agility.
Yeah, if your business plan requires a regulatory gray area to hit its target yields, you are not making a real estate investment. You are making a regulatory gamble. Pree's boots on the ground rule is absolute here. Treat an AI-generated pro forma as a draft, not gospel. You have to underwrite based on the strictest possible interpretation of current law. You cannot assume a temporary tax abatement or a zoning loophole will exist in perpetuity.
Okay, let me play devil's advocate here. Because if I'm a portfolio manager, I have limited partners demanding returns. And the most common critique of this highly disciplined wait-and-see approach is the dry powder argument.
Right, the dry powder argument.
Yeah, if we sit on our hands, hold our capital, and wait for the fundamental math to make sense again, aren't we actively losing money? Is it better to let your money slowly erode in a cash account due to inflation, or completely light it on fire by locking it into a fundamentally flawed deal? How do you pitch doing nothing to an investor when their cash is decaying?
It is the hardest conversation an investment manager can have, but Pree's provides the definitive framework for it. The counter argument relies on distinguishing between the erosion of purchasing power and the structural destruction of principal. Yes, sitting in cash or short-term treasuries means you might take a slight negative real return against inflation. Your purchasing power slowly erodes.
But entering a fundamentally flawed deal to escape inflation guarantees a catastrophic loss.
Exactly. Entering a bad deal guarantees a loss. Think about the mechanics we just discussed. If you lock hundreds of millions of dollars into a hotel acquisition burdened by 7% debt, squeezed by $5.60 diesel, and reliant on an AI's hallucinated rent growth, you haven't protected your capital from inflation.
You've lit it on fire.
You have literally lit it on fire. When that debt matures in 3 years and the property isn't generating enough cash to refinance, you lose the asset entirely. A slow erosion of cash preserves your optionality. A bad deal destroys your capital base permanently.
That makes total sense. Waiting preserves the optionality to strike when the fundamentals actually align. And the reason waiting is the mathematically correct move right now brings us to the final and arguably most important piece of Pree's thesis. You have to wait for the impending supply cliff.
Yes. This is the macroeconomic event that patient investors are positioning for. To understand the supply cliff, we have to look at the timeline of commercial real estate development, which, you know, operates on a massive multi-year lag.
Walk us through that timeline. How does a supply cliff mechanically form in the market.
Go back to the period between 2021 and early 2023. Money was virtually free. Because debt was so cheap, developers broke ground on a massive wave of new projects, multifamily complexes, industrial parks, and hospitality assets. And a major commercial project takes roughly 36 to 48 months to build.
Which means all of those projects financed in the cheap debt era of 2022 are finally cutting the ribbon and opening their doors right now. We currently have a flood of new inventory hitting the market, suppressing rent growth.
Right, but look at what happened next. When interest rates spiked to 7% in late 2023 and 2024, the math for new construction completely broke down. The cost of financing a new build became too expensive, so developers stopped pulling permits. They stopped breaking ground.
So new starts effectively went to zero.
Yes. Because of that 36 to 48 month development lag, the total lack of new groundbreakings in 2024 means that by late 2026 and into 2027, the pipeline of new deliveries will completely dry up. The market is going to fall off a supply cliff.
And when new supply falls off a cliff, the entire dynamic of the market flips.
The existing supply becomes highly valuable. Even if overall economic demand is lukewarm, the sheer lack of new inventory means that the organic demand from tenants and hotel guests will rapidly catch up to the available space.
Which organically drives up occupancy and organically drives up daily rates. You get the rent growth naturally, entirely without the need to artificially engineer it on a spreadsheet or rely on a hallucinating AI.
That is the core of price strategy. You hold your ground today, you protect your capital from the flawed math of the current transitionary period, and you deploy that capital when the supply cliff arrives, letting the raw fundamentals of supply and demand do the heavy lifting for your portfolio.
Which brings us to the definitive takeaway for you, the institutional investor or hotel operator navigating this environment. The old maps are useless. If the physical rigid math of an acquisition today does not pencil out with 7% debt and high operational costs, you must walk away.
You have to.
Do not manipulate the terminal cap rate. Do not invent a fictional 5% revenue growth to appease an investment committee.
You have to embrace data veracity. Audit every line item, verify the physical cost of operations, and never underwrite a deal based on a regulatory gray area. This boots-on-the-ground, data-first approach is exactly why Priyan Shweta Thakur is the go-to expert for navigating complex investments in this volatile market. Patience right now is not passive. It is an aggressive, calculated position.
Absolutely. A spreadsheet building doesn't care about your formulas. It cares about $5.60 diesel, sticky interest rates, and actual tenants. We have spent this briefing exploring the immense dangers of using unaudited AI models and outdated assumptions to hide the true cost of operations and new acquisitions. But before we wrap up, I want to leave you with one final provocative question regarding your current holdings. If these systemic flaws and hallucinated assumptions are so prevalent in the market today, what hidden compounding liabilities might be sitting undiscovered in the pro formas of the assets you already own right now?
That is a scary thought.
If the macro environment has shifted this drastically, it might be time to take a hard, unvarnished look at your existing portfolio and re-underwrite every single property from the ground up based on the physics of today.